Boston Fig coverage here, justpressstart.net. I'm standing in front of a booth for a game called Mark of the Old Ones. Got some folks right here who want to talk about it. Can you guys introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about the game?
Hey, I'm Christian. I'm the programmer.
I'm Jordan. I'm the producer.
He's got finger quotes around that. So are you sure you know this guy, Craig?
I've never seen him before in my life. He's got a gun.
Oh, man. That's never good. So what are we looking at here? It's called Mark of the Old Ones, and it looks like a tendril platformer or some sort of thing. But why don't you describe it a little bit better?
It's sort of an upside-down physics puzzle platformer with Metroidvania roots to it.
Okay.
It's upside down because in a normal platformer, like, you're jumping on platforms, so you're constantly looking down at the platforms. But in this, you're swinging from the platform, so you're kind of like constantly looking up for the next thing to reach to swing from, to fling yourself into the air.
So how did you guys come up with this design, this aesthetic?
So actually it started off as like a little hobby project by our previous chief engineer, Aubrey Jones. And we all liked it, and so we kind of went with it.
Okay.
We pretty much threw out everything that he initially had because it was like using 3D joints, and we basically knew it was a 2D game. We wanted the robustness of like Box 2D, but we're still using the same 3D engine for the graphics, which is the C4 engine by Terrathon.
Okay.
And on the non-engineering side, the inspiration is the writings of H.P. Lovecraft. So just like the weird, kind of creepy stuff going on.
So did you decide that that was, I mean, did you know that you wanted to create the mechanics first and then wanted to put the story around it, or did it go the other way, or did you have the graphics? What was like the first thing you guys had?
It was mostly simultaneous. I mean, like,
I think it was the prototype of the swinging mechanic first, and then after, as soon as we decided like this was something worth playing with, like that mechanic of swinging around with the arms, then everything else came after that planning.
Like, seriously, everything took shape so fast. Like, we were still in the production of our previous game, Just Tactics.
Okay.
So we were like busy and kind of like would have meetings here and there to talk about it, and it really just took shape very fast.
So how do you come up with it? I mean, obviously you said it's influenced by Lovecraft. So tell me about the story behind the swinging, if you will.
So we actually had a lot of backstory, and we still have it, but now we're trying to tell the story less and more show the story rather than tell the story.
Okay, so something like more like Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, something along those lines?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I really like Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet. I keep trying to get more people in the office to play it. But like, Lovecraft, the parts about Lovecraft to me that were always very striking were what he didn't say.
Right.
So it's what I'm not saying.
It's the monster that you think you hear in the next room, but
okay,
you're not really sure. It's like you think you saw the shadow of something horrible, but you didn't really see it. And so that's the idea of showing you but not explicitly telling you. There's no like cutscenes of like, you know,
right,
storytelling, which I don't like anyway in any game.
So when you created the mechanics for this, was it a challenge for you because you were turning everything on its head, and does that translate to learning to play? Is there a bit of a curve while people try and, oh, I'm doing this differently than what I'm used to doing?
The controls and, yes, I would equate it to like learning how to walk again. Like,
okay,
you know how to play games, you've been playing them for years and years, suddenly you get into this and like, there are literally habits and tics that gamers, longtime gamers have, that are bad for you learning how to play the game. In fact, sometimes a little kid learns how to play the game faster than a pro.
Oh, wow.
Like, gamers in particular seem to have trouble letting go, was one of them.
Yeah, that's one of the basic things is that you reach out with the analog control stick to grab onto something.
Okay.
And then once you're attached, you use the analog control stick to move left or right to swing in that direction. And then when you actually want to fly through the air, you have to release the tentacle, which you do by just releasing the analog, letting it return back to the center, which to a lot of people like doesn't make sense. They can't grasp the fact that like, if I want to go right, I should push right, and not, if
or
I want to go right, I should let go.
Even when they do grasp it, there are a lot of people who are like, I know I'm supposed to let go, but my fingers won't do it.
It sounds like the perfect Spider-Man game in effect because of that, because it just that sounds like the perfect swing mechanic.
I do have a friend who constantly calls it Cave Spider-Man to piss me off.
Disregard.
No, I like Spider-Man. but we're trying for something completely different.
Right, right.
Like, they're more like muscles. They're actually simulated with an IK system we wrote.
Okay.
So you can actually, like, pick things up and manipulate them in the air. You can throw things. You can, when you learn how to, you can stand. You can, like, fling yourself up in the air with just your tentacles. Like,
now, are those the kind of things that the game will sort of hint to you, that you, or is that something that you figure out in the course of playing?
You will not be able to get through all of the game without learning those things, but you can certainly beat the game without learning them all. Some of them you never really need to learn, and they're just, like, will make your life much easier. And then others, there are, like, what we call hardlock puzzles, where it's like, we put you in a situation where you have to master this skill, or you won't really progress, or you'll have to come back to it later.
Okay, so the game sort of teaches you the skills you need. It's not like something like, one of those ones, I'm trying to remember the name of it, Full Bore, where you have buttons that do things, but it doesn't tell you what any of them do until you experiment and try it.
I saw Full Bore, it looked interesting, I haven't played it yet. So, spoiler, why? Someone asked me if the game was going to have a tutorial because things are so different, and my response to him was, you're playing it.
Kind of like Portal, I guess, right?
Yeah, we definitely drew as much inspiration from games like Portal as we could, like Portal as far as storytelling, I mean, Limbo as far as storytelling, Portal as far as gameplay teaching.
Okay.
Like, we want you to kind of be pulling it out yourself. We don't want to give it to you. We don't want to push it in your face.
So what's your take on the difficulty of a game? Should it be, I mean, are you shooting for accessibility first and foremost? Are you shooting for challenge first and foremost? What's the ideal player for Mark of the Old Ones? Is there one?
Easy to learn, hard if not impossible to master.
Okay.
It requires mastery, for sure. And I think it is a Metroidvania, so you get more abilities that let you beat the hardlocks. But the thing I think that is cool about them, it's like in Metroidvania, so it's like there's a certain door you can't open, and then you have to find the rocket. When you shoot the rocket, it blows up the door.
Okay.
That's not something that requires mastery, it's just finding the rockets.
Right.
Ours is like you have to find the ability that lets you manipulate objects, and then once you can manipulate objects, you have to master the manipulating objects.
Like the ability to slow time.
Yes. Like, once you find the ability, it's still something you have to master. It's not just like, otherwise it's just like finding a key, and like, you found the key to the door, now
you just have to find the door.
Right, yeah.
So what do you, what kind of feedback are you getting so far? What are you most pleased with? What are you, you know, what are people saying that it might influence how the game continues to develop?
The thing we get the most, I think, is that people have never played a game like this.
Okay.
A lot of people say they think the game is pretty, and I know that makes our artists happy. One of the things that I think makes me happy is whenever I see someone figure out, like, a quirk of controlling the tentacles. Like, there was one guy that was actually able to, like, lift himself off the ground with one tentacle, and watching him do it was amazing, because most people never ever learn to do that.
Right.
From the floor. Like, he literally pushed himself up by flexing it around.
Right, yeah. That's something... Okay. Anyway, for me, something that I find encouraging or happy about or something.
Right.
I don't know. Just the fact that there's people playing the game makes me happy. I don't know.
Yes. It lets us know that we're not crazy, you know, that game actually is fun. Because it's like, it's kind of a concern. You know, you work on this game, you're, you know, kind of isolated, you kind of show it to people, but they're usually people you know, so it's like, do I trust what they're saying?
Right.
They've seen the game before, so like maybe they're not objective. And then you get here, strangers come up, they figure out how to play it, they get through all the things we thought were going to be hard or a challenge or a bad thing, and they're happy and they're like excited when they learn something. It's just like, I'm not insane, I'm it's fun, it's fun.
you're kind of insane.
Okay, maybe.
So how do you create sound effects in a musical score for something like this? I mean, how do you put the world of Lovecraft kind of to music?
The person to ask about that is our audio guy, Dave DeLisa, who's not with us because he has a infant son that was born while we were working on the game.
Oh, wow.
So, boy, that kid's going to grow up with nightmares. But yeah, he is an audio wizard. He does both our scores and the sounds, and it's like, it is part science, and it's also part him running around, like, the building, scraping things with some random chunk of metal he found on the shelf.
Always the best way to do it. So is the game is in early access. If people want more information or if they want to play it other than being at Boston Fig, what can they do? How can they help you guys get this?
This guy.
You can go to markoftheoldones.com, and from there, there's links to like ways to follow us on social media, and you can also buy the game through Humble Bundle.
Okay.
Humble Bundle widget, which will let you get into the beta, which starts on Thursday.
All right. And when do you think that the full release might be? I know it's kind of hard to say. Maybe 15.
Hopefully within the month.
Sounds
Two
great.
Months.
2 months.
Okay.
Do I hear 3 months? Oh, wait. So that's not how this is going.
6 months!
Yeah, we've already been greenlit, so. And Christian's already done most of the work to get us on Steam, so. As soon as we're happy with the beta and all the levels are good, then we'll launch it on Steam.
There's, like, a list of little checkboxes we need to check.
Makes sense. Well, you guys are very busy. You have a long line here at the booth, so I will let you guys go. Thank you so much for your time. The game is Mark of the Old Ones, and I really appreciate you guys' time. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.